Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, Mark from Guitar Nerds here, letting you know what we're talking about on this week's Patreon episode. We take a question from Scott about which Epiphone and Gibson models have P90 pickups and non-wraparound tailpieces. We also take Paul's question about buying a new amp that you can use for home and for gigs. And we also take Jeff's question where he asks us to name his brand new pedal. If you want to hear that, patreon.com/guitar nerds, where you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast from as little as $1 a month. patreon.com/guitar nerds. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds podcast. I'm your host, Mark Packham, joined this evening by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Aha! Yes!
Fine form.
Welcome!
I thought you were organising a fourth person to join us today.
No, I thought you were organising a fourth
That's
person.
That's not true at all.
Wait, you guys were supposed to get Dan Grace.
He couldn't make it.
Mary couldn't make it either.
Oh, okay.
Turns out, just the three of us.
And building castles in the sky. Just the three of us.
Yeah, that's
you and I.
I and...
Me, you and Barry White.
Barry Time.
Thanks for joining us for another exciting edition of the Guitar Nerds podcast. This week, we're going to be talking... we've got some Gear of the Year stuff to talk about. We've seen some new pedals. We're also going to be talking about brand new instruments from Fender, some new stuff from Warwick, some brand new stuff from Wampler, a very crazy bass from Ibanez, and unfortunately the sad passing of Malcolm Young. So lots and lots to talk about this week. First up, I thought we would cover, Joe Branton, you've been looking at some new Gear of the Year arrivals.
Yes, I have.
What have you, what's kind of caught your eye?
So we had this week, well actually it was at the end of last week's podcast, we went and picked it up, the Echo Line Everest Drive, which in kind of following on from the absolutely brilliant, what was the name of the pedal?
Roadrunner.
The Roadrunner. Yeah, it's just a really cracking, good sounding, simple drive.
Is it slightly smaller housing?
No.
Okay.
But I love that. I love, like, they're such tanks of pedals. They feel like just such quality, and I think that, you know, it fills you with confidence when you plug in a pedal that's
it's
so
chunky.
So robust and well built.
Yep.
So terrible if real estate on your pedal board is an issue, but I thought it was great. I also thought it sounded absolutely smashing.
Yeah, I've not heard it yet. I'm excited.
I was playing it at home with my Vox AC10 and my Sterling St. Vincent, and it sounded absolutely banging.
Nice, nice. Sitting right behind you as well is a whole stack of brand new pedals.
Yes, we've got all the Meris stuff.
We have. I've literally picked this up today, so I've not even heard it yet.
So I wasn't sure that a couple of these were released this year, but I think they were just really early.
Well, I think it's actually more so that we can do some stuff, but the Polymoon, I think...
Polymoon's the one,
yeah, that's
it?
What they've submitted.
Absolutely a timeline killer, a Strymon timeline killer. Listeners, if you
those
have not...
Those are big, strong, fierce
mate,
words.
I know, but I don't think I've heard anything quite as good and versatile and capable of being like completely crazy and completely dialed back in a delay pedal in a long time. And it's... you know, it's in a decent compact housing as well. It's not going to take up loads of room like the Strymon stuff. Unlike Strymon, it will run on normal power. Unlike Strymon, it actually does something to your effects rather than just, you know, sort of advertising that it does. And
what does that even mean?
Basically sounding like an RV5.
Just the most powerful effects processors.
No, I tell you what it was I for some of the videos that I do at work, when we make, like, when we did like the Stranger Things theme and we did like a Blade Runner theme,
yeah,
I need to get like a really a reverb that will do tons and tons of stuff. Like,
yeah,
basically I need something that can do shimmer but can probably do a load of stuff as well. I always go for the RV500.
Yeah.
And just to mix it up, for a video that was shot, I went and got the Big Sky, and I was just like, oh, is that it?
It does a lot of stuff. I don't think you can say, is
no,
that
it's
it?
No, it's true, but it wasn't very real-timey. I didn't think the controls were very real-time.
Yeah, there's a lot of
stuff.
I was
annoyed by the fact I had to go and get a special power supply for it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, come on.
That's always
irritating.
Come on.
Carl Martin worked out how to not do that. Like, you know.
Well, Carl Martin worked out how to not do that by hardwiring their pedals.
Yeah.
Like, that's
even,
not a compliment.
That's even more irritating.
About?
Yeah, that's the worst solution.
Yeah, fine. Anyway, yeah, I'm sure they're very good. I just it was the first time I'd probably actually sat down with some Strymon stuff, and I was just a bit like, oh, what's the fuss?
Right.
But anyway, the Polymoon is absolutely killer.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to plugging it in. So we've got a stack over there. We've got the Polymoon. We've got the...
I don't know, mate. I didn't look at them. Probably the Reverb 7. I think it's called the Reverb 7.
There's one like the M248 or something like that. They're literally, just stand up and go and look at them. There's the Otto bit, I think.
Yeah, the Otto bit Junior.
That's the one that's on there. And there's also the M2.
The M4 bit is just like their part number, you bell end.
I'm glad that went out.
It's the Mercury 7.
The Mercury 7 is what we've got. And what else?
And that's it. The Mercury 7, the Polymoon, and the
Otto
Bit Junior.
Cool. Oh, cool. I'm
so the
Otto
Bit Junior is a super cool, like, arpeggiating pitch machine that can do loads of other cool stuff as well. And the Mercury 7 is just a really good reverb. So
nice.
Yeah, so that would be really cool. They'll be great to check out.
Worth mentioning, we also got a delivery from podcast listener Stuart Tate,
Tate Effects.
His booster and also his, what do you call it? A buffer. There we go. That slipped my mind for a second there. Curious to see how that pans out, because obviously the buffer could fit into the best accessories category, which, as we've said, there's not much going on in that category this year.
It's a great size, the buffer.
It is.
As well.
It is.
It's good. I'm glad that it's not just in a normal pedal housing, like so many brands are sort of want to do when they put out buffers.
Yeah.
It's very convenient, easy to mount on the underside of your pedal board. I'm into it. It's cool.
Yeah, I think if you're listening to this and you're from a manufacturer at all, I think I said it last week, but there's not much going on in the accessory category this year. So if you've got something interesting and, you know, guitar picks... We can nerd out about guitar picks, but if you've got a new guitar pick, it's probably not going to, you know, make it into the considerations. But things like...
What about a fidget spin guitar
pick? What are you talking
about? No. That is you in a thing. That is totally you in a thing. A fidget spinner guitar pick is basically Joe Branton.
That's cool, man.
Yeah. Fad.
Oh, so do you know what else happened this week?
Go on.
I got my hands on a real... 1952 Les Paul.
And how was that?
He couldn't play because it was left-handed.
It was left-handed. Do you already know? Yeah. We took one in as a part exchange.
Wow.
Well, no, not a part exchange, sorry. A buy-in, just a straight buy-in at GAC. And, the stores manager had to drive to Bristol to pick it up.
Wow.
But brought it back and showed us and... Yeah, it looks incredible. It's incredible condition.
What I'm curious about is, I know you couldn't play it, so you can't really judge the feel properly, but having held it and stuff, how does it compare to like relics that you'd see that are made now? You know, do they get anywhere close to what this actual 52 feels like? Not play feels like, but the finish and stuff.
Right, so this was an interesting point of conversation, and we all disagreed on it, actually. A few people were like, oh, this is where it really shows how Gibson can't do a good relic and Fender really nail the relic. Just the way the Nitro had worn. And I kind of thought, well, No, I think Gibson do get it, but I think Gibson got it on the True Historics.
Because yeah.
that's what this looks like. The way the paint was greening on the corners, the way the nitro had shrunk away from the edges on the top where it was bound, and the just the nature of the checking. I thought it looked like a... And the thing was, it actually... We had a Paul, who's left-handed, played it, and he was like, this is great. Like, you expect it to be a bit of a dog. But
because it looks like, a bit odd.
Yeah, well, it's because it's
it's very, very old.
Very old. But it was great. Like, it had benefited from a good setup. They'd changed the bridge on it.
Right.
The original bridge was included, but of course there weren't compensated saddles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On the original, so that, you know, everything was... No one played past the fifth fret then, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the bridge had been changed to something compensated. It was set up very well, and it played very nicely, and he was like, oh, it's surprising, because you expect to have to fight it a little bit. So it kind of felt like a True Historic,
yeah,
because it played well and looked great.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go and see that.
It looked so good, honestly.
Is it in the store? Is it on display somewhere?
I don't know if it's actually on display, even.
Okay.
I think it might be an appointment only thing because of the price tag, but I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
Do you know what it's selling for? What would a left-handed 52 go for?
So bear in mind, they only made three.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
In 1950, well, or four, sorry, it was four. They made four.
But I don't think they made... Because I was talking to...
And they made none the next year.
I was talking to Alex, the store manager, about this. My understanding is it wasn't that they made four. I think they made four left-handed guitars between 1952 and 1958. And then another four between 1958 and 1960.
Really?
That's my understanding. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Maybe it's an urban myth, but I'm sure there was only four left-handed guitars made between the years of 58 and 60.
Right. I think I can't remember which year it is, but 58 or 59, there are like three left-handed Les Pauls, and Paul McCartney owns two of them.
Yeah.
And the other one, I think, is owned by John McEnroe, the tennis player. I would need to go back, because we did a video on it ages ago. I'd need to go back and look at the specifics, but it's something like that. But yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if
there's hardly any.
Yeah. I think there's more than you think, because if there were four across 4 years, I think it would be, or 6 years, whatever many.
Yeah,
years,
8 years.
It would be more. Yeah, that many. It would cost more than it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
So what's the price tag?
I can't remember, but it's less than you think.
20 grand? 50 grand?
No, I think it's less than 20. Like, I don't know. I can't remember, but I think they said it was going to be like 16 or 14 or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. Is it up on the website yet?
I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. It's just come in and they're sort of sorting it out. I think
the left-handed players are trying to work out how they can club together and buy it and timeshare on that.
I think someone like a left-handed, you know, repeat purchaser had been notified about it.
Right.
So I think we're waiting to see if he wants to buy it before it actually
interesting
goes out.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go into the store and see if they've got it, and
yeah,
see if I can just have a look.
It was incredible. Like, part of the deal of us having it there is that Alex has to supervise it at all times when it's out and about. So
nice.
But
nice.
Yeah, what an incredible... That's something I will absolutely never get to see again.
Yeah.
And I thought that was it was such a shame that I couldn't play it, you know, because it was left-handed.
Yeah.
But it looked amazing. It looked like everything you ever wanted 1952 Les Paul to look like.
It's... American listeners, you might be kind of blown away by how enthusiastic we are about this, because... I think when you go over to the States and you listen to American podcasts and stuff, actually this stuff is not lefties, but old Les Pauls and stuff, you know, 50s and 60s Gibson and Fender guitars. It's not that rare.
No, they're way more obtainable.
Totally. You know, you can see them in the store, and not just even price-wise more obtainable, but there's just literally, you could walk into a guitar shop and see something like that.
Yeah.
In the UK, that is just not the case, you know. Guitar shops don't have old guitars of that kind of magnitude. And when stuff does come in, it is a bit of an event. Like, I've talked about it before, when we had a 54 Les Paul Junior in GAC about probably 10 years ago, something like that. You know, it was in a case on its own, like surrounded by kind of uplighters, and it was like, wow, an actual 50s guitar, because you just don't see them.
I mean, I think it's worth remembering that there's that big story that Hank Marvin was the first person to own a Fender in the UK, because Cliff Richard brought him a 1956 Strat back from a tour that he did. And, you know, that means that for 5 years, well, you know, depending on when you class the first Fender coming out, that for the first few years, none came into this country whatsoever.
There was, again, further on from that story, I was reading about, I've been doing some research on the Beatles guitars, not that I need to do a huge amount, but for this video that we're doing. Oh, hello there. on this video that we're doing, I had to research some of the stuff, and I was reading about George Harrison and why he ended up with the guitars that he did. And obviously, you know, in the mid-60s, they bought some Strats, and it was him being interviewed about his kind of love of Strats, and he was saying that when they first, you know, got started and they first started making some money, he went to a music store and saw a Strat and was like, this is after when they were starting to move away from the kind of Futurama guitars and stuff like that that they had. He went to a music store, saw a Fender Strat, played it for a bit, and then said, oh yeah, I'll come back in a week and get it. And then when he came back, it was gone, and he's like, and then I didn't see a Fender Strat for like 2 years after that. I mean, can you even imagine that now? Like,
that's mad.
There was one, and then it was gone, and then he didn't see it for like 2 years or something. Yeah. Which, yeah, just sounds absolutely bizarre now. So, yeah, it kind of really speaks to the amount of guitars that actually came over here that even George Harrison from the Beatles couldn't get his hands on a Strat. And in fact, the two that they did buy, interesting fact about this, they Brian Epstein offered to pay for the Strats if they could find a matching pair. Obviously, he's very image conscious. And around 65, when they got the Strats, there was still kind of ideas of them doing a lot more touring and stuff. So he was saying, well, if you're going to get Strats and move away from what you've got now, they need to be a matching pair. And if you get a matching pair, I'll pay for them.
For the two of them, right.
For the
okay,
two
sorry,
Strats, yeah. He said, as your manager, I'll
right,
pay for them if,
sorry,
you,
yeah.
if you can get a matching pair of Strats. And so Mal Evans, who was the roadie, the Beatles roadie throughout their career, was tasked with going to find two matching Strats and couldn't find any up north, couldn't find any in London. So he actually goes to like, it's somewhere completely random, like Milton Keynes or something. He has to go to find a shop that's got two, that has even the possibility of getting two Strats in the same colour. And even then, they're not new Strats. They're 61 Strats bought in 1965. it really speaks to that kind of scarcity. So yeah, a really cool thing to see, something actually old and actually interesting.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to your YouTube video that will include all your Beatles knowledge.
It's a Beatles-a-rama. It's Beatlemania. That's coming out this week at some point, but we'll talk about that at another time. Some good news for fans of the Guitar Nerds podcast. Brand new merch.
Go on.
What were you going to say?
No, I was going to do a great link, but I've ruined it. Go on, you carry on. It's gone. Don't worry.
You've really ruined the link.
I've really ruined everything.
You've really ruined it.
Yeah, yeah.
Brand new merch. Joe Branson, you arranged this. There's new T-shirts up on the site. Do you want to give people a little rundown of what they can pick up?
Yes. There's a new Guitar Nerds official merchandise shop now on the internet, including...
good one.
Yeah, it's fine. There's loads of new T-shirt designs, and actually more being added. We're having baseball shirts. We're having tote bags. It's going to be hoodies. There's
mugs,
badges, stickers. We're not doing mugs.
Come on, leave them alone.
We're not doing the shipping. We can do mugs.
Oh yeah, we can. I guess so. We could do mugs. Anyway, there's loads of quality designs to choose from, including sort of old favourites and new ones. It's going to be great. We included your stupid Bullet Club reference one. I don't really understand. I tried
for
to Google
life.
It and then just got bored. There's a Ramones one that
Mark
very annoyed at because we had two words saying guitar nerds.
Ramones parody shirts never have two words at the top. It should just say nerds. They never have two words.
That wouldn't make any sense.
Also,
the idea of you
sitting in an office Googling Bullet Club and then getting completely confused about what the Bullet Club is makes me hilarious. There's some South Park stuff,
but they're not South Park, they're just caricatures.
It's the characters of South Park,
yeah, but look, it's us as little South Park characters. Matty's even wearing his little Boss 40th anniversary t-shirt.
He is. I mean, it is lovingly done. Whether people still care about South Park, I don't know, but those shirts are up there.
It's lovely. Anyway, and you can also get a swaggy Branton Ranton t-shirt.
No one wants that.
Everyone wants
I'm going to put money down to say that the Branton Ranton shirt is going to be the lowest seller.
Have access to the same analytics that I do, Mark Packham, and you are fully aware that it's the most downloaded podcast we've ever done.
That's absolutely not true. To be honest, Jay, I agree with you. Unfortunately, it won't be true. And also, the Bope shirt is up there, which
the Bope shirt is there.
Bope is
Bo Bannon actually messaged me after we launched this shop.
Really?
Yeah, he messaged me, and it just said Bope question mark.
Good.
And I was like, yeah. And then he just said it again, but with an exclamation and a question mark. I don't know if he's happy about
it. It's a strange life you lead. Yeah. One last sad bit of news, unfortunately, this week. Malcolm Young passed away. Guitarist, rhythm guitarist, and kind of backbone of AC/DC. All the big hits. To be honest, I don't think any of us on the podcast are huge AC/DC fans. Don't about you, Jay?
I think I respect that band as being like an incredible live act who are absolutely unrelenting. I think they managed to get away with, like, they're so ridiculous, but they've always managed to, I guess, not have the sort of being a bit crap that went with bands like Guns N' Roses. Yeah. Like, they were just unabashedly pure rock and roll, and they just kept they kept going.
Unfortunately, my any interest that I could have had in AC/DC was soured, and I think if anybody else, if anyone listens to this podcast who has ever worked in a guitar shop, will know that there are some songs that just yeah, exactly that, or just dun 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 dun.
Whip out, whip out, whip out.
Did, 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 did. Dun, 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 dun. So there are some bands that are just completely tainted. But I tell you what, recently, it's been now like 2 years since I worked in a guitar shop, and
you've really been getting into Muse.
Well, no, absolutely not. I'm not Joe Branton. An AC/DC song came on the radio the other week, and I was like, you know what, this is great.
I've got a big love for any band who's gone with their first album. They've basically worked out their sound, and then they've done another 50 years or whatever it is, 40 years of the same album. Yeah. Like, I love that stuff. Like,
Of course you do. You're into punk rock.
Exactly.
Every single band worked out one riff.
Look at the Ramones, you know, they just kept cranking out basically the same stuff. Look at bands like, I don't know, going down that metal route, like, look at someone like Anvil, you know, they're still just churning out the same stuff. Motorhead, and if you find that niche, and if people are into that first album, you've kind of got them, do you know
completely,
what I mean?
Completely. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I can't remember how it came up, but we were talking about Entombed at work recently.
Is that a band?
Entombed are a Swedish metal band.
Right.
And they formed in 1987 and are still going. They've done like 9 records.
Yeah,
it's not the original lineup, but it's not far off the original lineup. They just keep going, and all of those bands. A lot, I think, it's popular in, Scandinavian Nordic metal. They're just powerhouses. They're just like, right, this is what we want to do. This is what we're going to carry on doing. Thanks very much.
Because there's nothing else to do. Basically, cold.
But yeah, I know what you mean with regards to bands holding on to
Chaz and Dave.
Well, I mean,
the ultimate churners. Yeah. I love it.
Coming back to Malcolm Young, he did play some great guitars.
Oh, 100%.
A Gretsch man, Malcolm Young.
Okay.
Actually, Gretsch did a signature model for him, like a custom shop, where they included, because you know he's got that 3 pickup Jet where he's taken out the neck. Middle pickup. They did that. They did it as a custom shop, which includes the empty holes and drill holes.
I love that.
Yeah. It's great. And so you've just got the one, like, TV Jones in the bridge, and it's all sort of rusty and heavily aged, but
it was a very cool looking guitar.
Yeah,
very, very cool looking guitar.
One of my favourite punk bands ever, Chicks Dig It, who do, as we've just described, they've been going since I think maybe the late 80s, and they just churn out the same stuff.
Yeah.
Their frontman has got a Malcolm Young model, because he's all I need is, I've got a sparkly guitar. And it's not that one. It's like a previous Malcolm Young signature where it's sparkly, just the TV Jones in the bridge, and that's all you need. It's got like a volume control on it. And he's like, yeah, that is all you need. And you've got to respect that, I think. You gotta respect that. So yeah, not a huge amount to say that hasn't been said already. I guess is, if you want to see a full obituary, there's plenty of stuff online, plenty of info. But yeah, just wanted to bring it up and give us a little guitar nerd salute.
Yeah. What I this seems even more inappropriate now, but what I was gonna say before was I was gonna say, you know, we were talking about guitars that weren't previously available in the UK.
Yeah.
They were only available in the US. One last bit of news is that Guitar Nerds had previously only been available in the UK, as in us four, are now going to be in the US because we all booked our flights to NAMM this
week. We did. Let's end the news on the intro section on a happy note. We have indeed booked our flights.
That was a really tenuous link. No, and the more I think about it, the more embarrassed I am.
No, it was good.
You're fine. You're earning your money.
Okay, thanks,
talking
Mark.
About
I appreciate it.
Talking about earning your money, if you have contributed to the Patreon, patreon.com/guitar nerds, obliged to say that.
By who?
By me.
Oh, okay.
We have now used that money to purchase some flights to NAMM. So if you're going to be there, we are also going to be there. Joe and Matt are going to be there quite early, hanging around LA, causing all sorts of mischief.
Yep, I will be there in body only.
Going to parties and stuff. So if you're going to be out there early, if you're from a brand or if you're over there covering the event, Joe and Matt will be there. Jay, you're going to be doing Fendery stuff.
I'm working, yeah.
You're the only one doing any real work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll be there from Wednesday. So if you want to, if you listen to this and you want to hang out, then just drop us a message. You know, get on the Facebook group.
We're going to this do on Tuesday night, and the more I think about it, the more I think that's the stupidest time for any company to arrange a do.
Why?
Because it's the day before it all kicks off.
No, the show starts on Thursday.
Oh, what happens on the Wednesday?
I arrive, and then the real party begins, baby. Right.
There is a thing.
Oh, well, secret thing.
On the Wednesday. It's fine. We'll talk about it later.
With that, we should
leak information
into a whole big swimming pool sized
news. I'm trying to mix it up.
Excuse me?
Was that okay?
No.
No, I like that.
Okay, it was fine.
I thought he was going to go
for it. News.
I thought he was doing it Axl Rose style, like news.
Oh, this is terrible radio.
First up, a load of brand new stuff from our good old mates
J Cross.
Yeah, from the House of J Cross, also known as Fender Musical Instruments Corporation.
Yeah,
some new stuff.
Some new stuff. So first on the list is a guitar that I don't think anybody saw coming. Came to a great surprise to everyone.
How your embargoes work, mate. Well,
there was, I mean, who could possibly have imagined 6 months ago we'd be talking about this guitar now? Fantastic. Who'd have thought it? Ed O'Brien has got his own Strat.
This is the weirdest embargo of all time.
Mate, I don't know what you're talking about. I only found out about it when it was announced last week. Ed O'Brien Strat.
Tell us about it.
Mexican made.
Yep.
You've got a Sustainiac built into
not
the guitar.
Not a Sustainiac, Sustainer.
Sorry, not a Sustainiac. A Fernandez Sustainer. Sorry, yeah, I should definitely get that right. A Fernandez Sustainer is in the...
What's the difference?
Two different brands.
Yeah.
Sustain. Oh, is it?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So Sustain is the original.
Right.
By Fernandez.
Yeah.
And who's Sustainiac? Is that Seymour Duncan?
Demasiado? Sustainiac on the floor.
Yeah,
and it's holding notes like it's never done before.
Anyway, the Sustainer is actually in like a single pickup sizing rather than the humbucker, which is the Sustainiac.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah, okay, fine. I thought they were one and the same.
No. But yeah, Sustainer in the neck. What is it? JB in the bridge?
Yeah, a Seymour Duncan JB Jr. So,
which is cool.
Single coil size humbucker in the bridge. And
Texas Special in the middle?
Yeah, sure, why not? I don't know. I can't remember.
I think so.
I wonder if there was only someone from Fender who we could ask.
Listen, it's not my job.
That's a great pickup selection.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool. And you can turn the Sustainer off.
Yep, you'd have to have it on constantly.
But not only can you turn it on and off, the Sustainer works
In three ways. You can have it find... three, because one's a blend.
Oh, yeah, okay, fair enough.
Three options. So, listeners, if you don't know what the sustainer is, it's kind of an E-bow pickup in your guitar. I'm sure everyone knows what it is.
It's like an E-bow in reverse, so it points out from the guitar body, but it's built into the pickup. So, if you don't know what an E-bow is, basically it's a magnet... Well, it's a device designed to create a magnetic field to vibrate the strings.
So your guitar notes will sustain for long periods of time, which...
Well, indefinitely.
Exactly, which will allow you to kind of use it in more of a soundscapey, synthy way, like Ed O'Brien himself uses, but also allows you to play one-handed if you need to for any reason. And the sustainer pickup works in three different ways, because it can either find and sustain the note, so the fundamental
natural harmonic,
the harmonic, or you can blend between both. And I think when you're...
Hang on, you've missed it.
The natural harmonic, the
octave harmonic,
and a blend
and
of
a blend
both.
Exactly.
Or a blend of both,
which you can control with the last tone control on the Strat. That's super cool. I found it incredibly usable for players with big pedal boards, like post rock guys, soundscapists. I think this is it's such a perfect tool. But I think people need to remember that this guitar, that is what it's for. It's a very specific tool, and it's more a tool than a guitar, if that makes sense. It's there to be used in conjunction with loads of other stuff.
Yeah, they're really good fun sustainers. It's the sort of thing I would normally hate. I really don't like using E-bows. I find them incredibly difficult to use.
They're hard to use. And hard to get
they're,
right.
They're quite a lot of... I want to say they're quite a lot of money for what they are, but they're probably, 100 quid these days?
Yeah.
And you're only going to use it for one song or something, aren't you? Whereas with the sustainer, you just flick a switch and it's on. And it's just working straight away. You don't have to relearn your technique. You don't have to put your guitar pick down and use the E-bow. You can play exactly how you normally play. But you've got this incredible sustaining thing when you hold a note and play over the neck pickup. They're really, really good fun. I always remember the Jackson PC1 Phil Colon signature.
It's not his name.
Yeah, it's Phil Colon. Phil Colon. His guitars have one in, and despite them being hideous looking, they were really, really good fun to play, because they not only had the sustainer, but they also had a Floyd, so you could hold a note and then go woo.
That's pretty cool.
I remember one came back. There was an issue with it, and one came back.
Someone opened the case and looked at it. Probably
one came back when we were working in the shop together, Mark and I, and we spent... I seem to remember us spending maybe half a day just going through it and trying to figure out what was wrong with it, and we managed to get it all sorted and everything. And then we just spent the rest of the day
just playing
around
with
doing
it.
That, just kind of
amazing,
very fun.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
So what else is new from Fender?
Well, cool neck on the Ed O'Brien as well, worth mentioning, because I think he's sort of got a little bit of flack in some rotting corners of the internet for being a Mexican Strat for 900 quid. But
how much is a standard Mexican Strat these days? It's probably about 900 quid, isn't it?
Welcome to inflation. But what's the neck profile?
It's a strong V.
Is it?
So not modern. It's great, so it feels like it's like a big tele neck on a Strat. It's cool, so it feels super comfy and super high end.
Going back to the price, Matt, you did the maths, and actually, if you just get a Mexican standard Strat and all of the parts that are included, you come to way more than 900 quid. So, in fact, you're not really paying anything for the name, which is what people were saying.
Yeah.
I think buying all the stuff individually and then time to fit it and stuff, actually you'd end up spending way more money. So it makes total sense to me, and obviously you're getting the kind of real deal Ed O'Brien Strat with this neck profile as well. So
cool.
The price I think is a bit of a misnomer if you're upset about that, but
I'm staying out of that conversation because you know, it's probably not my place to say.
Good. And what else? What is your place to say? Is what else Fender have released today?
So today, actually, if you're listening today, as in
Tuesday
the 21st.
Technically, you're breaking an embargo right now.
No, I'm not, because this doesn't go to press until tomorrow, which is
physically
fine.
Physically, in the time that we are now.
I guess as long as you two don't say anything and you've signed your NDAs, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. I always sign my
NDAs. I'm going to tweet it right now.
Again, something that people... sorry, did I say again? I didn't mean again. This hasn't happened before. This was something that... there were some photos that appeared at Summer NAMM of this very cool-looking retro, vintage-y Mustang bass.
And I like how you're dressing it up as in it didn't have a name tag on it saying exactly what it was.
Yes, it did. Yeah, you're right. The Justin Meldell Johnson.
Everyone's favourite, Justin Meldell Johnson.
Is it Meldell or is it Mendel?
Meldell.
No, you're thinking of Nate Mendel from Sunny Day Real Estate.
It's Justin Meldell Johnson. Everyone knows who Justin Meldell Johnson is. He's exactly the sort of person Fender should be giving signature models to. Yeah. Everyone's favourite bass player. Hugely
he's in
famous.
Beck.
He produced the last Paramore album.
Did he?
I mean, that's not a thing.
Yeah. No, he's good. He's a good dude. He's played in a lot of cool bands.
Fine. He's not.
I mean, haven't you just
but
got
it's
a signature
great
bass?
It is
You're
a great
literally
bass.
Literally nobody.
And I think that people will be buying it more because it's a very cool bass rather than it's a signature model by Jean-Michel Jarre.
Well, it's... So. It's
Jam Master J.
Actually,
Jam Master J. Yeah.
Well, for one of the reasons that I think it's going to sell really well is it's actually going to be the only Mustang bass that's a real Mustang bass that's kind of in production, because all the current Mustangs now have PJ pickups.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this has got the original old
split single coil. Yeah.
So great. Comes in an incredible color. What's the color?
Daphne Blue?
It is Daphne, is it? Right.
Worth mentioning, it's road worn. So it's basically similar idea to the road worn 50s and 60s stuff that they've done already, in that it's got some, you know, light reliquing on it. It looks neat, I think.
Great. Brass saddles, like rosewood.
Strung through.
Yeah, well, Mustang. Yeah. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
They look great. I've not seen one IRL yet. I'd really like to.
It's going to be tough not to buy one of these.
This is right up your street.
Oh, absolutely. I really want it.
What will you use it for?
What do you mean?
Well, you can't use it for gigging, obviously.
I'll find something.
I'd absolutely love it if in your contract for that bass that you've got, it said in the contract somewhere, you will never buy another gigging bass again. That would be fantastic. Stonefield Incorporated.
So two more things that I can announce.
Wait, is it four? Four things total?
Yeah, two.
Is it?
Two
okay,
more.
Go on then.
Two more. I mean, they're kind of the same.
Okay.
Kind of.
One is red, one is blue.
No, they're both purple sparkle.
Okay.
Adam Clayton. Adam Clayton has got a couple of new basses
from the band U2.
From the U2s,
okay.
He has got a jazz bass and a P bass,
right?
Both of which are in purple sparkle,
matching headstock.
Both of which have matching head caps.
Nice.
Block inlays.
I don't think there's. Before we talk about the inlays, I don't think that there's any. I can't think of any other P bass that's got a matching head cap.
What, that's in production?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's none.
There's custom shop stuff, obviously, but...
Yeah, but even that, I don't...
It's much rarer for a P-Bass. It's not really a P-Bass thing, is
because
it?
I was thinking about specking up my own custom shop P-Bass, and I mentioned...
Would you go matching headstock?
I was talking about matching headstock.
Pink sparkle?
Very you.
Not pink sparkle, pink shell pink.
Oh, nice.
And a couple of people at work were like, you can't do that. That's not vintage.
Oh, really?
I was like, oh.
I mean, it's not true vintage, but
no.
It looks nice.
It does look nice.
I think we've had... like a black P bass with a Tork guard with a matching headstock, custom shop.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a custom shop though.
But absolutely, it's not vintage correct.
No, but anyway, these basses. So yes, purple sparkle, matching head cap, block abalone inlays.
Oh,
that's a bit
that
weird.
That is a bit weird.
Yeah,
they sort of ruined it for me.
It's
gold hardware?
It's not gold hardware, no.
That would just finish it off.
But it is a...
the Fender Warwick.
It's a gloss urethane, so it's not nitro.
Ugh.
Presumably because if you've got this purple sparkle, you probably don't want it.
They're not custom shop, are they?
No,
they're not custom shop.
No, so, I don't think.
But isn't all the top end stuff
is poly
anyway?
Anyway, yeah.
So that kind of makes
sense.
The
only nitro stuff from Fender is custom shop now. Oh no, wait. American vintage.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, it kind of makes sense. You know, that's if it's part of that top end range of Fender stuff. You know, if it's like professional level.
Yeah.
Then it kind of makes sense. So, interesting.
On the pickups, the jazz basses, 60s custom shop 60s pickups, and the P bass is a custom shop 60s P bass pickup.
He's absolutely just phoned up his mates, the Edge and Bono, and gone, I was about to do the accent,
Bono.
Man. I'm not going to do it.
wait, no, you can do
no,
it.
Don't
I'm not
going to
do it. I'm
no,
not
no,
going to
no,
do
no,
it.
I can do it for you.
No, don't do it. I mean, you look a bit, you're sort of dressed a bit like the Edge today.
You have got the
Hello
Edge.
Hello there, boys. Hello there.
Stop doing that.
Can you make me a bass? Can you make me a bass in sparkled purple? I want a bass in sparkled purple, please, the Edge. There you go.
That was actually better than I was expecting. It was less offensive than I thought it was going to be.
You've really got a bit of the Edge vibe going on.
Yeah, you really
You've got the facial hair and you're wearing a beanie.
Yeah.
You too will not be associated with sparkled purple. That's what he would have said.
I wonder where. I honestly was very worried about where that was going then.
Anyway, let's move away from this.
I think we should.
Caricature for a sec. Four instruments from Fender.
Is he the only artist to concurrently have a signature with Fender and Warwick?
I don't know what you're talking about. He's only got a signature with Fender.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's the only artist with a Fender signature. Whew. Let's move on, shall we?
P45 bass.
What should we? What should we move on to?
Let's talk about some new stuff from PRS. Joe Branton, have you got the details?
No.
Okay, we'll come back to that. Jay Cross, tell us about something super cool, the Rock and Roll Relics jet model.
That was so good, the panic that went through Joe's face.
Because we started this and went, yeah, we'll probably cut that one out.
Right, no, we've got to love the PRS. Tell us about the Rock and Roll Relics jet model.
Rock and Roll Relics, what can I tell you? Some great guitars made by some great geezers, played by some great fellas.
I was looking at their artist list, actually, and they've got plenty of famous people playing them now.
I mean, they sort of came to our attention when Billy Joe Armstrong started playing that...
The Stars and Stripes, Les Paul.
That guitar that has quite an accustomed taste. I would say.
No, I think it looks quite cool.
Did
I'm into
you?
It. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that proves my point. But yes, so they are, they've got a lot of models. I didn't realise quite how many models there are, but the Jet series is new, and by the looks of things, it's essentially a Melody Maker.
Yeah.
They look exactly like the new Epiphone SLs.
They do kind of look like the
SL. I found
out
about this
yeah.
the same day that the SLs landed in store, and I was like, wow, those are two very different price tags.
Yes.
Yeah. Two guitars.
Well, absolutely. The Epiphone SL coming in at what?
89
quid?
Yeah, something like that.
89
yeah.
quid.
Ridiculous.
I was having a look at you, and you're all sold out, aren't you? Already.
Probably the day that they came in, I think out of everything that came in, there were only two, one in one color, one in another, that stuck around, and I think they probably sold later that day. Like,
so
absolutely all the cool colors
were
not
gone.
Just sold, but like oversold.
Hugely
for our next, like, yeah.
So the Jet model, I'm assuming, obviously they're based on Melody Makers, I'm assuming they get the Jet name from Joan Jett, because obviously known to play.
I guess so.
In her actual career, played the single cut, and then obviously the signature model that she had with Gibson
cut.
Was double cut, and they look very much like that.
Absolutely, and the double cut, to take it back a sec, both these guitars, single cut and double cut, humbucker in the bridge, single coil in the neck, open coil, so they've got that real Melody Maker vibe to them, thin headstock. But they are super high quality materials. So mahogany body, mahogany neck, rosewood fingerboard. You've got a Tone Pro wraparound bridge, which is really nice. Clouson vintage style tuners. You've got Russian military caps in there. I don't really know.
They're
what that
Lola
means,
pickups
but,
as well.
Well, you've got they come standard with Lola, or you can have you can choose something else.
That's pretty cool.
But they do. They look fan bloody tastic,
and they're coming in just over $2,000.
They are coming over just $2,000. Which part of me is the problem with that? Is that's the price of everything now, and.
No, it isn't. 89 quid.
Well, yeah, okay. But any, but pretty much anything like this,
yeah.
it's always $2,000.
Yeah.
And I really feel like they are... I think that they're likely to come a cropper, because if you look at this and then you look at, for example, the Heartbreaker model of theirs... actually, the Heart, that's a bad example because that's like twice the price. So, okay. But my what I was going to say is that the Jets are, they're about $2,000, and they're designed to look like a guitar that was 500 quid.
Sure.
And, yeah. And I think that there's going to be a lot of, and you know, absolutely, these are going to be built to a higher spec, but I think a lot of people will struggle to compute whether that is worth that much money when there's other things for $2,000.
If these were like £1,600, I'd be like, absolutely.
I agree. Well, I mean, what is 2-1 at the moment?
Well, I think what the market that they're going for is not the market of someone who will go and buy a 500 quid Melody Maker now or, you know, recently. What they're after is, you know, people who, for example, you know, like old punk rock, and you know, they do a lot of Johnny Thunders stuff, and obviously Billy Joe Armstrong is playing them. The idea is you're buying a guitar that looks like a classic Melody Maker, you know, like the one Joan Jett used, like plenty of the punk guys used, but it's obviously all very, very high quality stuff.
Yeah.
And it kind of
incredible,
you know,
finishes.
All handmade, they're built in the States. If you've ever seen one, I don't know if you guys have ever seen one.
I've not seen one IRL.
They will probably be at NAMM, so we should go and check them out. I've played one before, and the quality is fantastic.
Wonderful, like, light relicking. It's not even relicking, it's just like making look.
Just aging.
Yeah. Sort of slight. It's not even like checking or anything. It's just sort of. They just do a fantastic job of making guitars that look like a lot of money. But I agree, in this case, it's kind of when you don't have, like, when the necks aren't bound, when it's dot inlays. Those are the sort of the things that were originally introduced to make stuff affordable, which is now going on these guitars to make them vintage correct, and therefore they're expensive. It's sort of done a 180 of what the purpose, the workmanship purpose of bound necks and blocks to dots.
Yeah, I just think that they're, you know, if you're after that super cool factor, you don't get a guitar much cooler than Rock and Roll Relics these days. They look so good.
Completely agree.
Definitely.
Completely agree.
Let's talk about a brand new pedal from our friends over at Wampler Pedals.
Oh, yes. So Wampler have released the Tumnus Deluxe.
The Tumnus.
Yeah. Exactly. So a deluxe version of the incredibly popular Tumnus.
Tumnus.
Are you going to do that every time?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, fine. Okay, so there are some super cool additions. So now it's a normal size pedal, so normal sort of Wampler chassis, and they've got the addition of an active bass and mids control on there. So they still have the classic treble control, which isn't active on there, but an active bass and mids, and they still have the leveling gain, and you've got like a normal and a hot sort of gain shifter as well. But on account of those sort of active bass and mids, and sort of in line with the versatility of the original and the added control you get from this, this pedal can be anything from like a Make Gooderer right up to, you know, sort of a big amp drive pedal. It's kind of a bit of a Swiss Army knife of tones, and I think for actual tone shaping and what you can do with it, probably one of the most versatile things on the market. I think this will fast hit legendary status. I would be surprised if this doesn't get quite high up in our gear of the year.
And we need to try one.
Yes, we do. We do need to get hold of one, but that should be easy enough. But yeah, I think if this is anything like the Tumnus, which of course it will be, then it's going to be.
Then you would hope so.
Then it's going to be an absolutely cracking drive pedal. I think this will be the one. I think this is the drive pedal of this year. Like, you know, every year has a new clone, and the Tumnus Deluxe is absolutely this year's. I'm excited about it.
Well, you know, we kind of went past transparent overdrives, but Wampler are kind of bringing it back, and the Tumnus has got very, very good reviews. It'd be interesting to put this up, because obviously, you know, it's going to be slightly more money and it'll take up a bit more pedal board space, so we need to factor that in when we're thinking about potential Gear of the Year.
Yeah, it's still super affordable for what it is.
Sure.
$200 is RRP on this, so, I mean, I don't think that's... That's the price of a Boss pedal these days.
Like, no, it isn't. It absolutely is not $200.
Yeah, but a Boss pedal is like 160 quid.
So some of them get up towards that. Yeah, exactly. There we go.
Oh, who doesn't buy Wazzacraft?
Oh, come on.
Everyone buys
Wazzacraft. You've got to be loving a standard OD1 at like £39 or whatever they are. So, yeah, no, I think it'll do very well. I really want to hear one.
And it has a little buffer true bypass.
That's what we like.
Switch, so you could put it to true and then use a Tate FX buffer.
I was just thinking exactly the same thing. Just a little shout out for a podcast listener, Stuart Tate. There. Let's talk about one last bit of Muse.
Let's not talk about one bit of Muse.
This is right up Joe Branton's street. Ibanez.
Yes.
Ibanez have announced the Thundercat signature TCB 1006 6-string bass guitar.
It was only a matter of time.
Tell us, who is Thundercat for the uninitiated?
Okay, so Thundercat is this like crazy sort of hip hop jazz bass player who has been backing up like big hip hop artists for years, but recently kind of formed his own project.
Before you go into this, can I give you a little bit more info on who Thundercat is?
Yes.
So I hadn't realised this. He's been someone who I've been intrigued by for a while, because a lot of people whose music taste I really respect, I see them posting about him all the time, never got around to checking him out. And when this came up, I was having a little look at it today. So he played bass on To Pimp a Butterfly, the Kendrick Lamar LP.
Yeah, that was the sort of thing that made him...
That made him known as Thundercat.
Yeah.
He played bass in Suicidal Tendencies.
Oh yeah, I knew.
For like
I
10
that,
years.
Know about that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I mean Suicidal Tendencies have had a lot of members, but he is the longest standing bass player.
Right.
And he was also he did some stuff with Flying Lotus. His brother one of his brothers played drums in Suicidal Tendencies. The other one of his brothers was in that band The Internet, which was with some of the people from Odd Future.
Wow.
His dad played drums for Diana Ross.
Cool.
Like, proper Muso family.
That's the first one I'd heard of out of all those bands you just named.
I would expect nothing less from you, Mark.
But yeah, just, yeah, nuts. I hadn't realised just how much he'd sort of been knocking about. You know, he replaced, well, he didn't directly replace, but he filled Rob Trujillo's shoes.
Trujillo?
After he went off to play in Metallica.
Right, there we go.
Which is really funny.
I always think about Robert Trujillo in that Metallica documentary where he's just auditioned for the band and he's like sat in his bedroom like listening to Metallica before he finds out. You know, that day it must have been pretty good.
Yeah.
He's got like a Metallica poster on his wall and stuff, and he's just there like, yeah, just audition for Metallica, and then he gets the job. It's fantastic.
Good old boy.
Anyway, so give us the rundown on the bass.
So this the bass that he's playing has turned up sort of a little while ago. I think I became aware of him playing it about a year ago, and we were like, hold on, that's a hollow body 6-string like jazz box
classic
Ibanez bass.
Yeah.
What is that? So I guess it was only a matter of time until they actually put something out, but it's as bonk as you think. So he strings with flat wound, so it's a flat wound on a 6-string.
Does it come strong as standard with flat wounds?
I don't know if it comes strong with flat wounds. He strings with flat wounds. But the pickup thing is what I really like. So he's a pair of passive EMGs.
Of course.
Really?
In there. Yeah. Yeah.
Weird.
But that's not the best bit. That's just the start of the signal chain on this instrument, because it then moves on to a Graphtec Ghost Modular pickup system, which is piezo with a built-in MIDI output.
Okay,
so
that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. So you can he can send out he can send to MIDI for sort of all weird sort of synth controlling and stuff from the bass, as well as having that like super, it's like the mix of the two extremes, that like old school hollow upright sound and computer.
Well, yeah, like passive magnetic pickups and a piezo. It's kind of like your combination if you want that double bassy type sound, and with, particularly with the flat wounds, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely nuts. I mean, I think I'm not really into the finish. This like that sort of,
yeah, it's like a real like sort of red violin to yellow sunburst. Yeah, it's real tomato soupy burst.
But it sounds great, man. It sounds great the way he uses it. He actually, in Thundercat, his project Thundercat, he actually has a bass player. He basically plays jazz guitar on this, like right? Jazz lead lines.
Oh, so what? Time. There's a bass player in the band, and plays that as well. Yeah, okay, yeah, right.
Exactly.
You've seen him, haven't you?
I've never seen him. I'm not really into it. It's not really my thing. Right, like, okay. It's fine. I don't mind it. I just I can't really stand his sort of Bee Gees style singing.
It's
not really
angsty enough for Branton.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's not really my.
There are lyrics.
No, it's
there are vocals.
No, it's jazz. I just don't like that sort of like.
He doesn't like anybody else encroaching on that weird time signature, you know what I mean? niche yeah, that the math genre holds dear and firm.
There is something not sloppy about jazz that I don't like. But anyway, it's certainly not cheap. It's only going to be sort of Japanese-made custom shop Ibanez, so it is coming out at the whopping price of $6,999.
That is probably the most expensive Ibanez guitar I've
I mean, that's £5,300.
That's a lot of money.
How much was that Paul Stanley?
The mirrored, shattered mirror one?
That was more.
Oh, that was about $4,500.
I thought it was.
So this is more.
I think that was $4,500. So this is more. Yeah, this is more.
How can less be
more?
Guitar.
More is more. Yeah, it's yeah. This
I am. I hate to say it, but if I was paying that sort of money, I would not want that finish on that guitar.
Yeah. What finish
nor the
want?
Gold hardware.
Very cheap. I mean, I'd just go for whatever, anything that isn't that. Basically,
yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's just really, really bad.
It looks like those. You know, they had that series, the AFG or AFB. Yeah, I think AFG for guitars, isn't it? AFB
that
for,
were actually
for the bases.
Really good.
They were good, but they look. But this looks like one of those.
Yeah, totally.
And is
£6,000
double, I mean, quadruple the price.
The thing is, for Ibanez, you know. So how long has he had? How long has he been playing this?
I mean, like you just pointed out, I wasn't aware of any of this stuff. So I knew he played on Pimp the Butterfly thing, and since he's been in Thundercat, that's
Pimp the Butterfly thing.
Well, whatever that is.
Did you listen to that
that's
record?
Hip-hop. Yeah, it's I have fantastic. To in my office all the time because of Charlie, one of the guys who works for me, constantly puts it on. But
it's good.
Yeah, it's
little,
fine.
A little behind the scenes
good.
There.
It's perfectly good. But yeah, he's been playing it the whole time I've been aware of him. Like, I've never seen him play anything else, but I don't know. He could have been playing this for the whole time he was, you know, doing.
I don't think he was playing a $7,000. Ibanez six string when he was in Suicidal Tendencies.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, the thing is for Ibanez is if they're making it for him, you know, they've got to make him. You'd expect that it's so esoteric. You'd expect that he's got two or three with him on tour at any one time. So they have to make him three. So they have to make 30.
10. Yeah.
I mean, how many of these are they going to sell? They're not going to sell that many.
No.
So it makes sense for them to, even if it's this much money, they only need to sell a handful in order to cover the costs, and they probably don't need to cover the costs anyway because it's a big marketing scoop. It's, you know, it's opening up Ibanez, the Ibanez brand, to a different group of a different demographic of
people.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know?
But I mean, I think like
people who want to play six string bass.
but it's not that. It's not just people.
So it's a bad group.
But it's not people wanting to play six string bass. It's people wanting to play jazz on a six string bass.
Yeah,
like it's so like that sort of person doesn't even exist. Like he's,
I mean, surely
the only one.
That's most people who own six string instruments.
Well, I don't think so. I think six string bass is like a lot of metal guys, like funk guys or like fusion guys.
Yeah,
but like,
I guess that's what you.
It's
what
not
I
like,
think of fusion.
Not like old school jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's more that like modern like dream theater player six string bass. Do you know what I mean? Those are the guys buying six string basses. Yeah. This is like quite trad sounding.
Yeah,
well, it's modern jazz, isn't it? But he has a trad sound.
I love
it.
That trad sound where I plug my guitar into a synth. It's really
super
trad.
I guess so. This isn't sorry, I've just seen here it's Autumn Leaf Burst.
Okay,
that's the name
go.
Of it. But I guess this is kind of similar
Heinz
to
burst.
What we saw with for example the Tosin Abasi
Yeah.
When his signature came out.
Like a traditional extended range instrument.
Absolutely. And all of a sudden, it's, okay, so people who want to play eight-string guitars aren't necessarily just tuning the eighth string as low as they can possibly go to make, you know...
They're not all down with the sickness, is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, some of them are up with the healthness.
Ooh, we're getting old.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do you know what he's tuned to?
No, I don't actually. I assume it would just be
standard six string bass tuning,
which is different from guitar tuning.
Yeah, so it would be B
to C,
B E A D G. No, B E B E A F sharp. Yeah, it'll be F sharp.
No, it wouldn't. It'd be D. And then
B E A D
G.
G.
I think it would be an F sharp rather than a G.
Why would it be an F sharp?
That's what.
No, it doesn't.
That's
B E A D G
C.
And then it would be
a C.
A C.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instead of a B.
Okay.
Because it'd be slightly higher. A fret.
With that, we should probably wrap up this podcast. We're going to...
is that the end?
That is the end. It's flown by this week. We're going to talk about weird tunings, probably, some more over on the Patreon. No, in all reality, we're going to...
B-E-A-D-G-C.
There we go. We're going to talk about that some more in the Patreon episode. We're also going to answer questions from Scott about current Les Paul models with P90s, a question from Paul about new amps, a question from Tom about overdrive pedals, and Jeff is asking us to name his new pedal. Exciting stuff. If you want to hear that, go to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the regular episode ad-free and early, plus an extra half an hour every week, plus access to the mini-series Branton's Rant On. You also get to hear from Matt Knight every week while he's in Japan. I say every week. He missed a week last week, but this week, apparently, he's just sent me the audio, is...
Double Bubble.
Covers week seven and eight. So yeah, that he's it's going to be I guess it's longer, I've not checked it yet. So you'll get access to that at $5. At $10 a month, you become one of our executive backers and get your name read out every week by Joe Branton in one breath, just like this.
Remember the last time you did this, you totally overcooked yourself.
I know. I've been playing that to people to demonstrate just how long I can hold a note.
What do you mean you've been playing what to people? Well,
just the end of last week's podcast. I went to see my mum, so I was just playing it.
She must be so proud.
My sister.
Look at how many words I could say without in one breath. Mum, please listen. Mum,
she's probably like, yeah, Joe, can you just fill up the bath? And if you could just practice that underwater, that'd be great. Thanks.
I showed all my sisters and brothers too. It was good.
Oh my god.
I have achieved.
All your successful married. Home owning sisters and brothers.
Yeah, that's right.
They're all like you know, don't drink any booze.
Some of them drink a bit. But they are always successful.
Do they wear stupid hats?
Do you want a beer, Joina? No, I never touch the stuff.
Joina.
Anyway,
you get your name read out like this.
We do it. I can keep going as long as I want. No one can stop me. No one can touch me. I can talk in one breath forever. I'm going to do a whole podcast one day in just one breath in whatever voice I choose to do.
I think there's an alternate dimension somewhere where that's just how you talk.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
Hello, my name's Joe Branton. Would you like to buy a bass?
I don't understand why it's that voice. Like, I understand doing it all in one breath, but why not just doing it in a normal voice?
Because you breathe more in a normal voice.
What do you mean you breathe more in a normal voice? That doesn't mean anything.
Right, it's time to wrap this up. So we're going to head to the Patreon and record an extra half an hour. Hopefully, Joe will just try and do that for half an hour, pass out. We'll never have to talk to him ever again. If you want to join in with the fun, you can go to facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at guitar nerds, and you can go to YouTube, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. Thanks so much for listening this week, and we'll see you next week.
Ta-ra.
Cheers, gang.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.